there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for today.
Okay, we're going to open our Bibles to Genesis. Back to the basics is the theme of our sermons for the next several weeks. And we're going to read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. Hear now the word of God. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that by your counsel and your wisdom and your teaching, that you expose our hearts to the perfect Word of God. That we learn today something in some way that changes our lives, that we may walk more like Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, guide us and teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a curious thing I always thought about children. And as we have seen our children grow up, other people would look at them and say, "They always said for Zach, you look like your dad." You know, there's something about him somehow or other that people see that he looks like me. Everybody says that Rachel looks like Jan. Haven't you seen that with your own children? Where people will come up and say, "Well, gee, you know, she has your eyes, or he has your nose, or he has your, you know, your way of speaking or walking or so forth, or the build of your body." Right? Haven't you heard that? There's sort of an image of their parents then. And so what do parents have to do? Parents have to teach them. Parents have to grow them. They have to love them. And they hope that they will see God's purpose in their lives as they move through life. Isn't that the prayer of a parent? God has made us in his image so we may live and move and breathe and have our being in him. A full life of heavenly purpose. Now, we talked last week and we read the first 25 verses of the book of Genesis, and we saw there that God is conveying his revelation to us. And so the Bible then is your instruction manual for all aspects of life. It's the very revelation of God. We learn that through the first 25 verses. It's the gateway of knowing God. It's pursuing Him in your relationship with Him as He pursues you. Teaches us about that. And the two broad lessons that we learned from verses 1 through 25 are that God reveals Himself to us and God created the universe. And so we have the book of Genesis in this revelation, and Genesis means origin or beginning. It's the starting point that lays the very foundation of our Christian faith. Without the book of Genesis, we would be extremely limited in our understanding of creation. We would be limited to the understanding of the beginning of mankind, limited to the understanding of our relationship with God and how that started, the nature of evil, the pain of disobedience, sin, redemption, salvation. First three chapters really do convey that. Talks about the Trinity. Talks about the beginning of the human race. The institution of marriage. The nature of evil. Our fallen human nature and our disobedience to God. The appropriate covering for sin. And the promise of a Savior. It lays the foundation of everything to come. And so we know it is His revelation. So we know that He did create everything. And God made man in His own image, male and female. He created them. Verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And as God is rolling out His revelation of the creation of everything that we see, of the creation of human beings on the face of this earth, that the Trinity counsels each other to make mankind. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. The word for God in Hebrew throughout these early chapters of Genesis is Elohim. That's a plural word, and yet it is spoken of as one God. And so God says, let us make man in our image. There's four important words here. It's us and our, and image and likeness. And it's useful, I think, to understand this and to understand what the Hebrew words to this meant. And the Hebrew word for image is tselem. And it means this reflection, a form of something seen, an image, a likeness, a phantom, not quite what the original is, but an image of it. The second word for likeness is the word demuth. It means kind of resembling, a likeness, a pattern of resembling. Something resembled. And it's sort of the way that we see our children. So God made us in His likeness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that there's something in us that resembles God. There's something in the making of human beings that is tied in to God, who is over and above His creation. So in human beings, somehow there's this vertical aspect that we can reach. It has started at very creation. And so He created mankind, the pinnacle of his creation, as we read this six-day journey of God creating out of nothing to ultimately what we see everything around us now. But in that primordial past, out of nothing to man. Man was the pinnacle point. The living human being was made in God's own image. To what? To rule God's creation. Now, he didn't give that to anybody else. He didn't give it to the elephants. He didn't give it to the tigers. He didn't give it to the monkeys. He didn't give it to those. He gave it exclusively to mankind. See, there's a special thing, this made in our image. He talks about man's unique relationship to God. It's unique. It's special. It's supernatural. And as Christians, we got to look back in this past and understand this. It really is quite substantial to our Christian walk. This knowledge of God, the knowledge of being created in His image. We're capable of then embodying all of God's attributes, communicable attributes. Love and joy and peace and patience and those kinds of things. We're capable of demonstrating that. Now we know, right, that God is spirit, so we don't look like Him. It's not a question of looking like Him. It's a question of being made in His image for purpose. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to His image, to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren." So Jesus is our example. Jesus is the example of the true human being who followed the rule of his Father, who obeyed his Father from birth till death. He's the example that we look at. In Colossians 3, chapter 10, "And having put on the new self," that is Christians, those who believe in Jesus Christ, "who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." Now, I want you to try to grasp the power in that. That here we are, thousands of years, you know, some people will say millions of years and some billions of years later. I'm not going to argue all of that point. But in eons past, here we are today, needing to understand what this image of God was at the very birth of creation. And how special we are as human beings. It's fresh, it's new, it's wonderful. It's the very creation of God. Male and female, he created them. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, Jesus even goes back and reiterates what is in the book of Genesis. He says, "And he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" Now, so there are two persons who share somehow this identity, this image of God. And together, they rule over all of creation. There's a particular supernatural divine design of male and female. In today's world, that supernatural divine design of male and female is being attacked. And so this idea of male and female is kind of subverted. It's kind of made to seem unnecessary. When you think about it, what does the devil attack? What does evil attack? It goes back to the very root of the book of Genesis. You read the first three chapters of Genesis, his attacks go back to male and femaleness, the idea of marriage and who that is supposed to be for, to the idea of your own autonomy. Did God really say that you shouldn't eat this apple or fruit of the tree? Because he knows that if you do, you will be like God. Those very things, that pridefulness, autonomy, sexuality, is attacked, and it's those first fundamental verses that lay the foundation of our faith. And we wonder why we have problems today, in today's society, in Western culture. Male and female were designed to be together. They were designed to accomplish something. They were designed to rule. They were designed to be fruitful and multiply. And neither one is able to produce offspring without the other. It's an impossibility. It can't be done. Egg and sperm. See, in this rational life, in our thinking life, in our thinking ways as we walk on the face of this earth, God gave us the ability to reason. He gave us the ability to have intellect, to have will, to have emotion. And so in those ways, we are like God. And in morality, in ways of acting good, according to the Word of God, in morality, we're like God because He was good and sinless. As we look back at Jesus' life, as we talk about here from Romans 8:29. R.C. Sproul said, and if you read the little piece in front of your bulletin, I encourage you to do so. But in there, R.C. Sproul says that bearing the image of God enables us to share some of His spiritual and mental capabilities. Being made in God's image means, among other things, that we can understand His revelation, we can formulate plans, we can have fellowship with Him, we can reflect His attributes. Attributes such as dominion. And so, he goes on, that is in Genesis in verse 28, to make us understand and to have us understand that we were created for a purpose. That God did not simply create and say, okay, go ahead, do what you want. That's not it. And in real life, we could never say that to our kids. I mean, it's a reflection of real life. And so he says in verse 28, God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. He wants us to have dominion over the earth as caretakers. And the idea behind this subjugation, this subduing the earth, is not a ruthless use of God's plenty. It's acting as a caretaker. A caretaker of the animals, a caretaker of the resources, the natural resources that we have. Man is God's representative on the earth in ruling over creation. Now, in the same way as sexuality gets perverted, the same way our rule and dominion over the earth gets perverted. I mean, things that can be avoided, things that, you know, can we nurture the world better? Yeah, I think we can. As caretakers, as representatives of God ruling over His creation, I think we can do a better job. But nonetheless, because of our fallen human nature, that too has been perverted. The command to rule separated mankind from every other thing that God created, from every living creation. And it defined mankind's relationship to God. and relationship to the rest of creation. We're different. We're special. Psalm chapter 8, verse 6 to 8 says, "You make him to rule over the works of your hands, Lord. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea." And God calls it blessed. These two commands, dominion over the earth and be fruitful and multiply, God blesses. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, he says. Having just created the universe, creating the earth, creating everything in it in those first 5 days and into the sixth day, and finally the pinnacle of creation, creating mankind, that man would indeed fill the earth, right? There's, what is there, close to 7 billion people apparently on the face of the earth. And the other thing too is the idea of subjugation does not suggest a wild and unruly condition for creation, because our God is a God of order. God pronounced it good. It's productive ordering of the earth done by wise caretakers. And doing it all and everything that we do according to God's purposes. And so at the end of this, this idea of being made in the image of God, this special creation that is to be fruitful and multiply and fill the land and subdue, have dominion over the earth, to be caretakers of the earth. In verse 31, God says, God saw that all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, in all of the other verses, as he is moving from day to day, he says, hey, God saw it and he said it was good. But at the end of it all, he looks at everything and the pinnacle of his creation in mankind and says, it's very good. Beloved, God has made us in his image so that we, as Paul says in the book of Acts chapter 17, that we may live and move and breathe and have our being in him. A full life of heavenly purpose. That's what we are as children of the living God. That's special. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, what a thing you have done. You have made us special. You have reconciled us to yourself. You have a plan and a purpose. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us the example of Jesus Christ. You have brought us and bound us together in unity as children of the living God. You have given us your revelation that we can reflect back in those eons of time that you have created all that we see, all that there is, and that you have created we human beings. Made special. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.